Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Kevin McAleenan, Acting Assistant Commissioner, Office of Field Operations with the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Andy Mayner. Well, Kevin, you've mentioned strategic vision and need for that. I'd like to delve into the strategic vision of field operations. And in particular, what are your key strategic priorities and how do you pursue them to meet your multi-dimensional mission?
Well, building on the foundation offered by Tom Winkowski, the vision I have is fairly significant for OFO. We want to be, as part of CBP, the premier law enforcement agency in the world, not just world-class, which I think we've attained already, but really the premier agency. And to me, that means the highest possible degree of mission effectiveness, becoming really the best at what we do. To be an innovative and dynamic organization that's constantly transforming, adopting new technologies and processes, being relentlessly self-critical in everything that we do. It's becoming the employer of choice in the federal law enforcement community with a recognized culture of leadership and excellence and employee engagement. And also, given our role in facilitating trade and travel, being transparent and collaborative, responsive to the American public, and working closely with our stakeholders, and of course, maintaining the highest standards of integrity. We have the broadest authorities, another key building block of any federal law enforcement agency. We have warrantless ability to search. We can stop, detain, and question individuals, and we have a responsibility to exercise that appropriately. And we have world-class capabilities with the amount of data we collect, our ability to analyze that data with automated systems in effective manners, our targeting capabilities, our abilities to inspect goods without slowing them down very much. These are non-intrusive inspection technologies, radiation portal monitors, or gamma imaging devices. We have a lot of capabilities there. On the partnership side, we're well positioned, both with our interagency community, starting with our investigators at Homeland Security Investigations. We can't carry out our mission effectively on the interdiction side without that collaboration with the investigators to dismantle the organizations and proceed to prosecution. And then the global efforts, those are critical partnerships for us with not only with our North American partners, but internationally, and of course, the private sectors. So in our strategic priorities, we've got a good foundation. So what are we doing to address the pieces we still need to work on? I think we need to constantly improve our capabilities. Again, if the goal is to be the absolute best at what we do, we really need to invest in our strengths. Our unique position at the borders provides us access to so much information. We need to marshal that information effectively. We need to get the right answer to our frontline personnel about whether this person or good might present a risk to the United States across our broad mission set. And we need to continue to transform and innovate. We have a whole series of what we call our business transformation initiatives that are really looking critically at all of our core processes, time-honored traditions of how we process air passengers with written customs declarations, and you go to primary and then you go to secondary, and each of these missions are taken in sequence. We want to look at that in entirely new ways, try to use technology to accomplish as much of the administrative portions of those missions before that person arrives at the border. So that encounter can be a law enforcement focused, very, very facilitative and quick, an expedited process. And so these are the kind of things we're working on to develop our organization in the capability side. And then lastly, it's the investment in our people. We are recruiting a tremendous caliber of individual across all of our disciplines, our CBP officers, our agriculture specialists, our trade specialists, and our mission support personnel. We've gotten to the point where our basic training academy is absolutely world-class and is really producing officers and agriculture specialists that are ready to do the job on day one. And it's a complex and broad one, as we talked about. So now we need to work on engaging them in their leadership development at multiple stages in their career, really defining career roadmaps for them so they know how to manage the various opportunities they have in their career. So it's those capabilities, the culture, and investing in our people that I think will take us to that next level as an organization and position us for the challenges of the future.
Well, actually, I'd like to talk a little bit more about specific initiatives that you're pursuing, and I'd like to delve into one, and that is the Southwest Border Initiative, which I believe began in March of 2009. And I want to get a sense of what is it and what have you been able to accomplish in this effort? And more particularly, what are some of the challenges that you encounter while massing and protecting the Southwest border?
Sure. I think the story on the Southwest border is a very good one. It's been an exciting time with some tremendous accomplishments since 2009 with the Southwest Border Initiative and even going back since the creation of U.S. Customs and Border Protection. We've deployed historic levels of personnel, technology, and infrastructure both at and between the ports of entry on the Southwest border. And I think we're better positioned than ever to address the threats we face there. My colleagues in the Border Patrol, for instance, are better staffed than any time in their 88-year history. They're now at a resource level that's much more commensurate with the massive challenge of securing our border between ports of entry. And the results are there. Their apprehensions, a key indicator of illegal immigration, have decreased about 50% in the last 3 years and are roughly 22% of what they were at their peak. And they've been much more effective at interdicting individuals crossing the border at the same time. And at the ports of entry, we've also made significant investments. We've implemented the Western Hemisphere Traveler Initiative, which is those technologies that I was talking about relating to San Ysidro that enable us to move traffic more effectively, but also much more securely. It's little known fact that at the time of 9/11, basically only about 5% of land border crossings were the people's documents actually checked and queried through a system. We're at over 98% today through the implementation of these technologies. We have license plate readers, next generation license plate readers that are capturing all the vehicles crossing, and that creates an environment that's much more secure, has led to thousands of seizures and enforcement actions, and is really finding those potential bad actors at the border while still moving trade and travel effectively. I think in terms of the challenges we still continue to face, one is, you know, we really want to support the government of Mexico's law enforcement efforts against the transnational criminal organizations, those powerful drug cartels that are operating in several areas of Mexico. And we'd like to help them choke off the supply of money and guns going southbound. And that's been a commitment made by this department. The challenge we face is that in terms of our staffing resources, our infrastructure, and our technology, it's positioned to focus on the inbound traffic. So the outbound traffic, you go to San Diego, as I mentioned earlier, and it's basically Interstate 5 driving right into Mexico. There's no port there. There are no booths. There's no canopy. There's not even anything that slows down the vehicles. That kind of situation is present at many of our major crossings and really presents a challenge as we try to check that traffic going outbound and to try to interdict some of the potential guns and money going south. And we've had tremendous successes. We increased our outbound currency seizures dramatically through 2011. We increased our weapon seizures, but that's going to be a continued effort to how do we balance and risk manage with the infrastructure, with the personnel, our outbound mission. Another area we're faced with, this is kind of in the organizational management side as well as operationally, is how do we integrate the components of CBP in the most effective way? We call it our mission integration agenda. I mean, this is not only to be more effective in terms of our operations, but it's a budget reality. Mm-hmm. And so we're testing different models of ensuring that we work as closely as possible with our counterparts in the Border Patrol, with our colleagues in Air and Marine in securing that Southwest border. So we're not three independent components that sort of share a parent in D.C., but that we actually day-to-day are integrated completely in our operations. And so we're starting to apply our joint resources in a really integrated fashion. This both on the outbound side, but many of our outbound efforts have been enabled by the fact that we have Border Patrol working with us at the ports of entry going southbound. We also have been sharing our canine assets, which are tremendously effective tools in identifying both narcotics as well as weapons and currency. The Border Patrol has a significant complement of canines, and we're now using them sometimes at ports of entry, sometimes at checkpoints in a collaborative manner. And we've also shared our lessons learned from the ports of entry with the Border Patrol to apply at checkpoints. How do you use non-intrusive inspection technology effectively? How do you use data on the cargo that's crossing the border so they can find potential risks and seizures at those interior checkpoints that are a critical line of defense in protecting the Southwest border? So those are challenges we're moving into. And of course, at the same time, we have trade up 6% last year and continuing to grow on the Southwest border. This is outstanding, rebounding from the recession, but also means we have many more trucks and rail cars that we need to clear efficiently. And so that goes back to ensuring we're as efficient and effective as possible in all of our processes. So that's what we'll be continuing to work on.
As a follow-up to that, Kevin, most Americans read a lot about the southern border, but you've also got a pretty expansive border on the northern border and in the coastal regions of the United States. How do you deal with that vastness and move that forward each year?
Well, all of our border environments present different risks and challenges. And absolutely, we have the longest shared land border in the world is between the United States and Canada. We see different threats. The terrorism threat is most severe in the air environment, for instance, narcotic smuggling, obviously, on the Southwest border. And then we have some of our most important trade facilitation challenges in the seaports and on the northern border. So we have to apply the right mix of programs, techniques, and technology in each of those environments. The first is called Beyond the Border, looking with Canada at how do we manage our shared land border and shared air border in the most efficient way possible to address threats early in the process, to facilitate trade, to ensure that our cross-border law enforcement efforts are as integrated as possible. These are organizations that are not just in Canada or just in the U.S. They're transnational. And that we have a shared approach to investing in infrastructure across our land border. And we're looking at all sorts of potential solutions, including pre-inspection, using that limited infrastructure on the land border in new and innovative ways to maybe clear cargo in advance before it actually arrives at that more restricted port of entry, developing and harmonizing our trusted trader and trusted traveler concepts.
Kevin, you mentioned the trade community, and Customs has a unique relationship with them. How do you deal with the mass of information, and how do you establish risk management principles when dealing with so many commercial entities that are approaching you in so many different modes? How do you work through that?
It really, the process is what we call it risk segmentation or risk management, and that has many different components to it. First, it's we try to learn as much as possible, both about the individual transaction, the individual shipment coming into the country or leaving the country, as well as the supply chain participants that are involved with that shipment. And we try to marshal that information with advanced analytics and automated targeting systems to sort through that vast amount of data and come up with those limited numbers, a very, very small number of non-compliant or potentially risky shipments to focus that for officers in the field to take in some inspectional action and screen that physically and more aggressively. So the core components of that are our data collection efforts. We work with the trade community to receive information on all sea, air, and land cargo shipments coming into the U.S. We try to get that information before it arrives at the border in the sea and air environment, even before it's laden on a vessel or loaded into an aircraft destined for the U.S. So if there's a security risk, we can work with them to take action and mitigate that risk before it even departs for the United States. The second piece of that is working through all of that data with our targeting system, with our partners and the investigative agencies to decide what we want to focus on. And then the third piece is taking effective action to inspect it thoroughly and effectively at the earliest possible point in the process. The other sort of half of the process is the trade partnerships. I mentioned the Customs Trade Partnership Against Terrorism, the 10,500 members. Those members are actually responsible for well over 50% of the value of trade coming to the United States. So when we have worked with them to validate their supply chains from the very start, the manufacturer in a foreign country, through their transshipment points on the carriers headed to the U.S., And then destined to their import location in the United States. We know that they work with trusted partners. We know that they have taken security measures that we've recommended, and we've validated those by actually visiting their facilities, by meeting with their management and ensuring that they have a mindset to secure the global supply chain. And the result of that is we're able to treat those shipments as less risky. They're 7 times less likely to have a secondary examination. And so their trade moves much more quickly. We're able to focus our finite resources on higher risk shipments and really have a better understanding about the traffic in the global supply chain. So it's really a combination of data, analytics, effective inspections, and partnerships that's helping us get the job done.
Kevin, you mentioned the Container Security Initiative, CSI. Would you tell us how you're leveraging emerging technologies to make the program more efficient and cost-effective?
Well, the key area that we're investing in on the technology side in support of the Container Security Initiative is those advanced analytics. It's taking our targeting efforts to the next level, trying to capitalize on the power of machine learning, augmenting what we already do very well, which is take intelligence and apply it through business rules to help sort travel transactions and trade transactions, and then adding this new layer, which is the power of a computer process to look at many more factors simultaneously. Instead of having an individual for those of us that are old enough to have done Boolean queries and the early search engines, where you have to combine a series of terms with if-then relationships, to go beyond that and have a machine look at 200 variables simultaneously in a much more comprehensive way that can bring risks and patterns to the forefront that we wouldn't have seen as individual targeters or analysts. So I think that's the key investment is really helping us identify potential risk more efficiently. The other side of that is again, staying in the analytics sphere for a moment, is what we call entity resolution or entity disambiguation. That's we had a lot of information where we have known risks. We have either individuals or companies that are watchlisted because they might present a concern. They've been involved in illegal activity, potential terrorist activity. And unfortunately, lots of people and things have people and entities have similar names. How do we make sure we're not impacting, we're only finding the known threats and the right threats? That process of having our algorithms be continuously refined so that we don't miss anybody, but we don't have a lot of false positives that we have to sort through is a critical investment for us on the technology side. But CSI, I mentioned Commissioner Bonner's vision in 2002, that will continue to be a core of our global supply chain security efforts. We've built partnerships with customs administrations and law enforcement partners in 32 countries. We're addressing potential security risks on 50,000 containers a year before they're ever laden and sent to the United States, inspecting them thoroughly, saving time and money upon arrival, and ensuring there was no threat in the process. And we've been able to expand and work with our partners on other mission sets, narcotics, for instance, trade violations. And that will continue to be sort of a cornerstone program for our supply chain security efforts, even as we look at ways of leveraging these partnerships so there's less of a need to have large physical presence in foreign countries.
How is CBP pursuing innovative security strategies? We will ask Kevin McAleenan, Acting Assistant Commissioner, Office of Field Operations with U.S. Customs and Border Protection, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.